This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you haven't gotten the guide by now, you really need to, because the NFL betting guide is out already. We've got in-depth profiles of every team, advanced stats, proven betting systems, betting trends. You're going to have all the tools you're going to need to bet this season smarter. Our experts are going to share their top bets on season win totals, futures, props, give you the insights you need to stay ahead of the action. So to get the guide, you must be a VSiN Pro subscriber. For a limited time, you get an annual subscription to VSiN Pro for an unbeatable price. Normally, it's $240 a year. Now, you can get it for just $199 a year with code SHARP. Plus, we're going to give you an extra month for free. So that's 13 months of VSiN Pro access to everything we do, including our daily best bets. We've got 24/7 video, premium analysis, exclusive betting splits data, and our special edition betting guides to keep you betting smarter all season long. So don't miss out on our new NFL betting guide and this incredible offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe right now. Use the promo code SHARP. Get 13 months of VSiN Pro for just $199 and get instant access to our NFL betting guide. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Back alongside Jared Smith, I am Dave Ross as we continue this edition of Sharp Money. Speaking of the NFL, I am not in the camp that Aaron, since he is back, Jets going to win the division. And I get it. The numbers have been altered in the AFC East. Everybody looks at the Bills and goes, oh, Steph Diggs is gone. He's in Houston. Okay. I think the Bills are going to be just fine. And I know that right now, if you wanted to bet the Buffalo Bills in the AFC East, something that I am considering doing, you're going to get one of the better numbers that you've gotten on them in quite some time. I'm seeing about plus $1.70 in the marketplace. Jets, talk about shortening the number, plus $1.90. Huh? Dolphins 2-1, forget about the Patriots at 25-1. The reason why I say, for the plus $1.90 is, if you look at what the Jets did last year, I almost thought it was criminal what they did after Aaron went down in the first series of the season. They just waved that flag, baby. I'm not talking about the players. Coaching staff, Robert Saleh, I'm looking straight at you. Where is your worth as a coach? If you lose your best player, what did Dick Vermeil famously say a couple decades, 1999? When they lost Trent Green in the preseason, he said, this team will rally.
Yeah, around Kurt Warner.
And what they did, they won the Super Bowl. Now, I'm not saying that's what Robert Saleh should have done with Zach Wilson last year.
Zach Wilson and Kurt Warner are not comparable.
but wait a minute. At the time. No. Wait a second. He wasn't a Hall of Famer there. He was a guy that bagged groceries at the time. Zach Wilson was the second overall pick in the NFL draft.
But we didn't know what Kurt Warner was.
Correct. That's my whole point.
We know what Zach Wilson is. We've known what he's been for years. He had many starts in the league before last year. And it was kind of like a letdown where I think the difference is Trent Green never won a Super Bowl. Trent Green never had the clout that Aaron Rodgers had. So when you bring in, as a Jets fan, when you bring in Rodgers, you raise the bar and then you immediately lower it again. Whereas the Rams, I thought the bar was low with Trent Green coming in because you didn't know what Trent, and it's ancient history. I don't even remember what I was thinking back in 1999.
But at that time, they were thinking, Trent Green, this is going to be the guy.
They didn't know what Trent, they were hoping that they were going to get the best out of Trent Green.
Yeah.
The Jets are hoping they're going to get the best out of Aaron Rodgers. The difference is, Trent Green has never played at an MVP level heading into that campaign. He was kind of a middling veteran.
Yeah. He was at that time probably the height of his career.
He was trending up, but he had never reached what Aaron Rodgers reached.
But the point is, the coaching staff didn't quit, right?
No.
They did the direct opposite.
There's no excuses for what happened to Saleh last year.
That's the point.
That I agree with.
And that's where I'm getting at. So now you're expecting me to play the Jets at plus DraftKings. You're expecting me to play the Jets at plus $1.90. On a coaching staff with Nathaniel Hackett last year as the OC who did nothing to make those guys better. Robert Saleh is a head coach who I thought did very little to make this team any better. And now I got a year older on the odometer for Aaron Rodgers, and he's coming off a devastating injury. And I'm
the number last year for the Jets to win the division? Can you find that?
It was about 2-1. It's almost identical.
It was 2-1.
It's shorter this year was last year.
What was the Bills number? I want to know Bills what are plus the pre-flop number. What Bills pre-flop numbers were?
Bills were plus $1.35. I know this because I bet.
Wow! So this is very helpful.
Oh yes, Bills are plus $1.35.
All right, so let's do some math here.
Okay.
So 2023, you think the situation was better for the Jets?
Yeah, we're right because Rodgers doesn't have the injury yet.
So let's do Jets. I'm not even going to put the Patriots here in this list. Let's just do Jets, Bills, and Dolphins.
Yep.
The Jets in 23, you said were plus 190?
They're 2-1.
2-1.
Yep.
The right Bills were plus 135.
There you go.
Now, the Jets are plus 190, and the Bills are plus 170.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can fill in the Dolphins in those blanks, we know the Dolphins number this
Dolphins
year.
Dolphins are around 250, 275, somewhere.
So I was looking up for the Jets. It was about consensus 250, right around that
so
range.
So it was higher than 2-1
okay,
last year.
Okay, even, right.
And what about the Dolphins last year?
What about 3-1, somewhere in there?
Dolphins were plus 300.
Somewhere
that makes
in that
sense. The Bills were higher.
This one here looked like the Dolphins were at 3-1.
Yep.
Okay, so let's just base off that. Let's go 2-1 for the Jets last year, 3-1 for the Dolphins. Bills are plus 135. It is fair to say the Bills have gotten at least slightly worse without Diggs.
Well, you get Keon Coleman out of Florida State.
Well, but you lose Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs.
They lost a lot on defense.
I have the numbers on what they were last year because I just did a segment for another show about talking about Keon Coleman. So I can tell you right off the top, the Bills lost 152 receptions and 1,929 yards, 15 of their 29 receiving touchdowns gone, Davis and Diggs.
Right.
That's a lot of production.
It is.
I think it's fair to at least downgrade their offense at the offset slightly. So you make the adjustment, Bills, go from plus 135 to plus 170. That seems relatively fair. And you're saying the Jets are significantly worse than last year is what you're saying.
Oh, I don't know that they're worse, but I don't know what Rodgers is at this stage. That's okay. My problem.
But
to bet a shorter number on the Jets, that's my issue. If you gave me a 250, 240, I think that's where they should be priced.
So we're talking about 50 cents here.
What was the concern about the Jets last year? It was
the offensive line, which I thought they improved in the offseason.
Do you think so?
First-round draft pick, right?
I think the hype on last year's Jets was so big that the number really should have been 3-1 on the Jets last year. But the hype pushed it down. They were one of the most bet teams to the over. Obviously, things didn't go well. My pushback to saying that they're worse or should be priced worse this year, they won 7 games last year with the worst quarterback situation in the NFL.
The Browns might have a little issue with that.
Sure.
To get Joe Flacco off a couch.
Who was really good, though.
Yeah, he was.
The Jets could have gotten.
He was with them the year before.
But that's all ancient
history. And they didn't bring him back.
My point being, if you look forward, the offensive line's better. All of the other situations are the same. The schedule's easier. It's a last-place schedule. You're asking me, are they priced fairly now, considering there's no hype and their improved rosters, the rest of the roster? I think the price is fair this year. I honestly do. I don't think the Jets are like a run-of-the-window bet team to win the division, because I agree with you, the volatility on Aaron Rodgers is unsettling.
Right.
But I will say this. If they find out a way, they're going to be the healthiest they're going to be, knock on wood, is week one, right?
San Francisco.
Their toughest games week one. So let's just say they win that game.
Well, it sets everything in motion.
If they win that game.
Yeah.
And the Bills, don't they have a tough game week one? Houston?
Don't they have a tough game week one? Here's my thing, just overall, big
picture.
What
if Buffalo starts
all 1-0? They play the Cardinals.
So Buffalo starting 1-0. So let's say the Jets win that game. And the Bills win that game, and everything's status quo, with the exception of the Jets upsetting a team that they were a 5.5-point dog. What's the number after week one if the Jets beat the Niners?
Then the Jets come down to plus $1.
Are they the favorite?
Yeah, maybe plus $1.20, plus
$1.30. So then you have to ask yourself, why would you bet the Jets to win the division? It goes back to this question we were having on the Commanders and the Cowboys. Just the Jets are going to be probably a plus 150, 2-1 dog week one. Just bet week one to win to beat the Niners.
If you really think they can win the division, it comes down to that.
Exactly.
Game. Yeah.
Two things happen. Option A, you win let's say it's plus 175 money line bet on the Jets week one. Done. Week two, they lose. They're one game back at the Bills, who beat the Cardinals. You're probably getting 3-1 to win the division, or plus 250. So it's just, that's how I view the futures market. If I'm betting on something early, I want the early schedule to be in my favor.
Yeah.
If it's not in my favor, I'm just going to bet that team to outperform the market in that early game, and then I let the chips fall and I readjust in week two.
Totally. I see it very similarly. I don't think they're going to win that week one game in San Francisco.
They could.
But what, 5.5
points? I actually like them more to win that game than I do to win the division, because I think Rodgers, he's going to give you something good. There's no way.
Was a Bay Area guy. He's going home.
But I'm just talking in general. Just imagine the Jets make this all-in chips move for Aaron Rodgers.
Oh,
he
my.
Gets hurt the first drive, season one. Then season two, it's a big flop in week one against the Niners, and they never recover. That is a disaster. I think the Jets' chances of winning that game week one are better than them winning the division, because I think they could win that game. They could go like 10-0 and then just completely fall flat down the stretch. That's how I see the Jets season playing out.
The only reason why I'd play the Bills at plus $1.70, it's a play on Josh Allen. And we'll have more of this conversation in hour number three, because I think people have already forgotten, because all the turnovers last year, just how special a quarterback that guy can be. That's coming up next here in hour number three of Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
We begin hour number three of Sharp Money here from the deep and beautiful downtown Las Vegas. Dave Ross, Jared Smith coming at you for one more hour here at the D. We were talking about the AFC East. Led to a very good conversation during the break.
I want to say the easiest division to handicap, but I am 100% convinced heading into the season, the worst team in the NFL resides in this division.
And that would be the Patriots.
100%. And that's a 4.5 under hammer win. I saw 5.5 at stations here.
Ooh.
Very heavily juiced. How do the Patriots win in 6 games? But that's not really the crux of the conversation. I think because when you have an anchor like that at the bottom,
yep,
it allows you to take a 4-team race and boil it down to 3.
Absolutely.
And that just takes 25% of the handicap off the table.
We talked about it earlier in the program. Hopefully you heard us on Sharp Money here. We were talking about the NFC East and that no team is repeated as NFC East champion in 20 years.
It's the opposite for this division.
Right? You look at this, and we got a graphic for you, too. It's all Patriots, obviously with Brady and Belichick from 2014 to 2019. Then all Bills from 2020 through 2023 for the last 4 years. And that obviously coincides with the emergence and the rise of Josh Allen. Now, as a Buffalo Bills backer and somebody that profited off them winning the division last year, it got dicey. Remember, this was the Dolphins' division to lose, and then they lost it.
Yep.
Right? Somehow, some way, kind of like the Eagles in the East last year, where the Titanic just absolutely hit that iceberg. Miami did that down the stretch and then blew the last game of the year against the Bills, so the Bills got that one seed in the AFC East last year. Oof, that's got to be tough for the Dolphins to shake. So when we break this down, and you're right, it's a three-team breakdown.
Three-team breakdown.
So we mentioned that Vic Fangio is now the adult in the room in Philadelphia. Anthony Weaver.
Who I love.
Yeah, me too. Takes over as the D coordinator in Miami. Mike McDaniels is the head coach. Look, I was in D.C. when he was on that staff. We didn't even know him in the media.
Yeah, no,
who he was at that point.
He was about the most.
Goodness.
Yeah, nondescript.
Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan under Mike Shanahan back in those days. Who's this kid? Who's this dork?
Smart kid.
He's really smart. He's not a dork anymore, people.
No. Oh, I think he still is, but that's what makes him cool.
He's a savant.
Well, nerds are cool these days.
We're
in that era of
absolutely. And he's done a remarkable job with the offense. Now, can he be hands-off, and can Anthony Weaver make this defense hold up?
Like, they've got pieces on the defense. Like, there's no doubt about that. I think the Fangio thing, it's like a different strokes for different folks.
Yep.
I think the culture in Philly will be more receptive to the way he coaches.
Sure, tough.
Where, think about Miami. A little more
Blitz,
Miami Vice.
Glamour,
a little more loosey-goosey. Like, I just think, and that's part of it. That's part of the league.
Mm-hmm.
Each team, and I think when you establish this, that's when you transcend up to that next tier of franchises in the NFL.
Yep.
Not all teams have a culture. Certain teams do. The Steelers do.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, if you put a guy like Vic Fangio coaching a Steelers defense, it probably fits. If you put him in Miami, where, again, they don't have an established culture, it's a young head coach who isn't a disciplinarian, they look at the head coach and they say, how come this guy's wearing Air Force Ones and, you know, spinning around his whistle during practice, and I've got Fangio out here making us do up-downs every day? Like, it's just...
It's different. It doesn't fit.
It's a culture. It's a
locker.
I think in Philly it fits more.
And here's the thing, and again, I'm going to show my age here. I remember when Steve Spurrier was the ball coach in D.C., and there was a question. Marvin Lewis was the defensive coordinator under Spurrier in D.C., and they asked him, Bruce Smith was playing, the Hall of Famer now. And Mark Maskey, the Washington Post at the time, were standing next to each other at the media scrum. And Mark says, Coach, Bruce Smith wasn't at practice today. And Spurrier went, he didn't? Where is he?
Whatever.
He didn't know. And he goes, well, where is he? And then they go, he asked us, the media, where is he? And we go, we don't know. And he goes, well, somebody better go ask Marvin. The point being, I wonder if that's who Mike McDaniel is now. Is he like, all right, you guys go ask Anthony Weaver. I'm the genius of this offense. So, like, we keep talking about the Bills and Jets, and rightfully so. Can we look at that genius, that offensive genius, and that skill set? I mean, you saw it on Hard Knocks last year.
Yeah.
They want to get you out in space, and you try to slow this offense down. Now, look, Tua, whatever you think of Tua, he gets the ball out to his weapons.
I'm fine with Tua. Listen, I think all these quarterbacks that get a lot of crap, for the most part, it's all injuries,
yep,
which are all things that we can't control.
Yeah, I agree. And I look at them. They're an 11-win team last year.
They're really good. He was an MVP the first month, 2 months of the year.
So should we be looking down the – I know it's 2-1 to win the division.
No, because you don't know if they're going to stay upright. That's the problem with the futures market in the NFL.
Which quarterback stays healthy?
Which quarter? It's almost in a – and they will never offer numbers on this because, obviously, the injury reporting and how they handle the injuries in the NFL is, I'll call it, fluid.
Oh.
That's probably the only adjective I can think of right off the top of my head. I'm sure if I had time
– transitory.
Maybe if I wasn't on live television, I could come up with more colorful adjectives that are a little more better describing the way they report the injuries.
Which would help us as bettors, yeah.
And there's a lot of – yeah, we'll call it gray area. So a lot of these bets in the NFL futures markets, they are games played bets.
Sure.
And if you were going to ask me – all in a vacuum. I say this word in a vacuum all the time, meaning the vacuum of space-time continuum is right here in this little circle. All three quarterbacks are healthy. Everything's hunky-dory. I think the Jets have the best roster in this division. I think the Dolphins have the most upside with the number because we've seen them play at a level where they could be priced first. We've seen the Dolphins play better at their peak than almost any team in the league minus that two-quarter stretch against Kansas City and Germany where they fell apart.
Right.
But besides that, they had the Chiefs, the defending champs, two-timers on the ropes. Big time on the ropes.
And that's why when we talk about it, look, I get it, Chiefs fans. They were the exception to the rule. They went, obviously, they beat the Dolphins in the first round in that Tundra game there in Kansas City.
Yeah, then was a weird game.
Right. Then they go on the road, and they win at Buffalo, and then they win at Baltimore, the number one seed last year. There is no team where the number one seed or winning the division is more important than the Miami Dolphins in the AFC. Period.
Yeah,
you
I
saw
agree.
It play
the
out.
Home field is very
well,
key
heat,
for them.
It is. It's yeah. like you. We want you guys to be hot. We want you to sweat, and we want you to run with our athletes. They look fish out of water when they have to go to cold weather with that offense in January and December. So to me, like if I'm looking at 11-1 to win the conference, right, for the Jets and the Dolphins, same number there. Well, the Jets, I actually think, could get there as a wild potential. You don't want to go that route. They could get there as a wild. I can't see the Dolphins doing that. Mm. So to me, if you're going to bet that, you better bet the Dolphins 2-1 to win the division because they're not winning the conference if they don't have home field.
Yeah, and I like going offshoot there and going, you probably get a decent number for them to be the number one seed, probably yep. better than them to win the division.
Absolutely.
And that's another way to look at these markets. That's the beauty of where we are in the NFL with the betting markets. You don't just have to bet the division. You can bet different ways. In fact, our buddy Will Hill made a great point about the Jets last week. If you do think they are going to win that game week one against the Niners, you don't bet them to win the division. You don't bet them on the money line week one. You bet them to be the last undefeated team.
There you go, because it gets really easy after
it
that.
It gets so easy after that. So, again, that's why the schedule in the NFL is the most unique schedule release because it's and I created this matrix that kind of shows how each team goes through their journey and when their tricky spots are.
Yeah.
And you can do that in only one sport, the NFL. Baseball, hockey, basketball. The schedule is so weird, and there's so many games. You can't map it out like this, but the NFL, you can.
By the way, I love that bet that you just alluded to. Miami to be the number one seed in the AFC is 10-1.
Compared to them to win the division 3-1.
Or to win the conference 11.
It's 11-1.
They don't have to play two more games. You just you get that one seed, you're in.
We think the AFC East is the toughest conference, the toughest division.
Three teams.
With two layup games.
Yes.
Which means... unlike the AFC West, which the Raiders are not
the Patriots. The Raiders are better than the Patriots. They have a better culture. I think they have a better quarterback situation. I think, I'm not 100% sure of that. I think O'Connell, the conglomerate of O'Connell and Minshew are better than May and Brissett. I think the rest of the culture in Vegas is better. My point being, I think there's at least 3.5 teams in the AFC West. I think there's 4 teams in the AFC North. My point being, if you're going to win the AFC East, you're probably going to win 12 or 13 games. And that's probably going to be good enough to be the number one seed.
I would think so. And again, that's it would come down for the Dolphins. Can you play those, you know, beat those Bills and Jets? If you win those, you're going to have a really good shot to get that number one seed.
Because I think 13 wins in the AFC gets to the number one seed.
Yeah, because the North is going to beat each other up.
The North will beat each other up.
Be brutal.
The West, I think, will be more of a beat each other up than in prior years.
I like Harbs, obviously, to be able to push.
And you obviously love the Chiefs, and you obviously love the Raiders. I think the question is how much you get from Knicks. That's the big question in Denver.
And the South, I don't think, maybe Houston could be a runaway freight train there.
To handicap the South, I think everyone's a 500 team.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I'm down on them. But I think people think they're a juggernaut. And if they are, they would be in play for a number one seed.
Tennessee, to me, is the one team that I could see a definitive fourth.
Yeah.
But I think Houston and Indy for sure. I think Houston and Indy for sure are 10 win teams. But I don't see a team winning 14 this year. I don't see the Chiefs having a dominant regular season.
Well, here's what's fascinating about that number one seed market that we're alluding to. So the Dolphins were mentioning at 10-1 is a better play in our estimation than the 11-1 to win the AFC.
Agreed.
Right.
And also, I think I'd rather play that to win the division because
totally.
To win this division, you're going to have to win at least 12 games.
Totally agree. Houston, by the way, is shorter. They're 8-1 to get the number one seed. So that's
because they probably play in a theoretically weaker division.
There you go. They're looking at the division.
But they have
saying,
a first-place schedule. The Dolphins don't.
I like the Dolphins better at 10-1 than I would at Houston at 8-1.
You have to look at it in relative terms to the market.
Yep.
Where was Houston last year to be the number one seed? Like 100-1 probably?
Oh, my goodness.
Like, so you're asking a team that didn't achieve something last year to improve significantly, whereas with the Dolphins, we're just kind of asking for status quo, maybe a win better.
I think that's a good way to find value. Look at that number one seed.
You have to look at all the different markets.
Absolutely. Much better than just playing the conference or winning the division. So very interesting numbers there. When we come back, I do want to get back to Major League Baseball. I want to talk about some teams that we think might be able to play and make a run for the postseason. We're just about at the halfway point of Major League Baseball, so we'll discuss that next here on Sharp Money.
Ask boys. Yeah, that was good.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Before you make those daily wagers, check out VSiN.com. You're going to get your best bets, your betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, betting tools, betting guides, each and every day. The perfect way to have some coffee, be informed, and make some wagers and cash some tickets. Back alongside Jared Smith, I am Dave Ross. We continue this edition of Sharp Money. Always love talking puck with our guy, Jonathan Davis. He is the host of Ice Cap on Sirius XM. Show Me the Money podcast. Follow him on X as I do at West Coast Hockey. That's HKY to round that out. Joins us now on the Progressive guest line. Jonathan, great to catch up with you now that we've gone through the draft. We've got free agency that's kind of, I don't want to say it's set in stone, but you get a better sense of what we think we're going to see this time next year. I can't believe it's already gone through a great Stanley Cup final as we saw. How exciting was that? Can you give us your short list of some losers before we get to the winners? Which teams do you think so far in free agency and or the draft did not help themselves out that you think maybe just missed the boat a little bit?
Well, I think Carolina, for me, would be the biggest loser of free agent frenzy day and the days that have since passed. And not because, you know, well, one, they didn't go out and get themselves a goalie where they need an upgrade for sure. But they lost two of their top six defensemen in Brett Pesce and Brady Shea. And then they lose one of their top forwards in Tero Teravainen. So they've just become a weaker team. And then, you know, you look at the teams around them, especially the New Jersey Devils, who were one of the big winners of free agent frenzy, got a lot better. So I think, you know, Carolina definitely took a step back. And the other thing, you know, the Rangers didn't really do much to improve themselves. And their coach, Peter Laviolette, always has a history of a great first season with every team that he joins. And then year two, they'll always take a step back.
I was hearing a lot of buzz from some people who I trust in the hockey spaces that the Devils are maybe a team we should be keeping an eye on. Bit of an aggressive approach to the end of last season. How do you think their offseason has gone so far? And they're pretty high on the list of teams on the Stanley Cup odds board that didn't make the playoffs last year.
They are, and they were, as I said, one of the big winners. You know, look, I grabbed them early on July 1st at 40-1, and then it quickly dropped. I don't know. I saw it drop to 22-1 for the Stanley Cup. But I love what they did. You know, they made a trade before free agent frenzy. They answered their question in goal. They got Jacob Markstrom from Calgary. So they, that's a huge upgrade from what they had, you know, with Akira Schmid and Jake Allen and Vitek Vanacek and others. So they get themselves an elite goaltender in Markstrom. And then they add to the defense by getting themselves Brett Pesce and Brendan Dillon. So last season, they didn't re-sign two of their top defensemen. Now they've replaced the two defensemen they lost a year ago. They upgrade themselves in goal. And I think they're closer to that team that went well over 100 points 2 years ago, you know, and knocked the Rangers out of the playoffs.
Jonathan, we almost saw a redux of hockey history for a team down 0-3 in a Stanley Cup final to come all the way back and win it. I did not cover that 1942 Toronto Maple Leafs team. I know people think I did. What do you make of Edmonton so far in this offseason? I think you like what they've done. They're the shortest number on the board at plus 850. Can they get that one extra game that they need to actually hoist Lord Stanley's Cup next year?
I love what the Edmonton Oilers did because they kept the bulk of their free agents from this past, you know, their UFAs that they had to deal with. And then they added Jeff Skinner, a prolific goal scorer who was bought out by the Buffalo Sabres. And then they add Victor Arvidsson from the LA Kings. So they add themselves two forwards that can play in their top six. They keep their free agents from last season outside of Warren Fogle, who went to the Los Angeles Kings. So, yeah, I love what Edmonton did. They are definitely, you know, in position to get themselves back to the Cup final and deserving of to have the short odds.
Do we think the Florida run is kind of at an end here? They are obviously deserving the favorites or one of the favorite roles heading into next year. They've had two unbelievable seasons where they played up until the last breath. It's hard to sustain that. Do we think another year of Florida, frankly, Florida dominance is in store for us here in the Eastern Conference?
Well, yeah. I mean, we've had a team from the state of Florida for five straight years make it to the Stanley Cup final. Yeah, it's hard. It's a lot of games. You know, the Tampa Bay Lightning, you know, have had a lot of success, but it is. It's, you know, you're playing what, close to 100 games, you know, each of the last two seasons. That's a lot of wear and tear on the body. You know, they lose a couple of players, mostly from their bottom six. I still think that they, you know, they lost one of their defensemen, Oliver Ekman-Larsson, who had a you know, revitalized his career in Florida after some rough years in Vancouver and Arizona. They're still talking about moving one of their defensemen, Aaron Ekblad, one of their longest tenured players. There's still a lot of talent there, but yeah, there's mileage. There's a lot of mileage on this team. So they're still the most talented team. Now they've gone through the grind twice. I wouldn't look at them to necessarily win the division. I think for them, it's all about getting into the playoffs, kind of like what they've learned from their friends in Tampa. Just get yourselves in at this point. So I wouldn't put money on them right now. I think you're better off waiting till the season starts. Cause I think, look, I'm not a Maple Leafs fan, by any stretch of the imagination, but they did add three defensemen to their blue line and they've improved that blue line. They get Anthony Stolarz, the backup goalie in Florida, to, him and Joseph Woll will combine. So you've got, they're better off. Toronto is better off. But at the end of the day, for me, guys, like, I still wonder if their best players hate to lose more than they like to win. And that's always my concern with guys like Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner. They love to win. I don't know if they hate to lose yet.
You mentioned Toronto. I'm not a masochist. I'm not rooting for fan bases to suffer, but it looks like it's suffering. 13-1, by the way, for the Leafs to break that streak next year. What about right here in Vegas with the Golden Knights and Colorado? Now, they've kind of drifted a little bit. 13-1 for the Avs, 16-1 for the Knights. Is this because of the kind of the assertion now of Edmonton? Are they clear delineages here in the Western Conference? And would you say that Colorado and Vegas Golden Knights are properly rated where they are?
You know, I think in the case of Colorado, the concern is, guys, I think they've only got 16 players under contract. They're right up against the cap, so they're going to have to do a lot of cap gymnastics between now and the start of the season. In the case of the Vegas Golden Knights, I mean, look, they just lost one of the original misfits in Jonathan Marchessault. You know, depending upon which side you want to believe, the player Marchessault or management and Kelly McCrimmon, I mean, this was not a marriage that needed to end, you know, especially from Marchessault's standpoint. But the Golden Knights did their work at the NHL trade deadline when they added Thomas Hertl from San Jose and Noah Hanifin from the Calgary Flames. So Vegas is still three deep down the middle. They added also a guy named Victor Olofsson from the Buffalo Sabres, who used to carry the moniker of Victor Golovson in his first year in Buffalo. This is a guy that can score. So, well, you know, I think Vegas is still in a really good spot. Yes, they lost Logan Thompson, but that was a guy that my understanding, they just never really trusted, and they added Ilya Samsonov, who's gone from Washington to Toronto, now to Vegas. I'm not a big Samsonov guy, but he doesn't have to be the man in Vegas, and he's playing in front of a much better blue line than he did in Toronto, where he doesn't have to win and steal games. So I like what Vegas has done. I still think that, you know, they'll challenge Edmonton for top spot in the Pacific. And they're definitely, you know, I think, the price on them for the cup, it's not a bad number if you want to grab it.
Jonathan, last minute or so here, the awards markets are fascinating. So to win the Hart Trophy, Connor McDavid is basically like light years ahead of the field, plus 175. The next closest player, Nathan MacKinnon's at 7-1. But then you look at the top goal scorer market, and it's Auston Matthews in that top perch. And McDavid's kind of the third guy on the board at 5-1. I'm always interested in these discrepancies. Is Hart always top goal scorer, or is McDavid deserving of that favor? Because if you're just basing it off of goals, well, then you should look at Auston Matthews, right?
Well, look, 69 goals wasn't good enough for Auston Matthews to win the Hart, and I don't believe he was the best player in the NHL. I mean, I think Connor was, you know, was deserving of the Hart. You know, Connor McDavid made a change to his game last year where he decided that, you know, it was more important to play a 200-foot game, play at both ends of the ice, than to worry about scoring. So I think that, you know, at plus one at 175, I don't think you're going to get, you know, much of a better number unless the Oilers get off to a really slow start. But yeah, most goals does not always transcend to Hart, most valuable player.
Only about 30 seconds, Jonathan. Utah Hockey Club, October 4th, debuts hosting the Blackhawks. I got to lay $1.75 on Utah. Is that good money? Is that a smart bet?
For what, for opening night?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Why not? With the money that VSiN pays you? Come on.
There it is, everybody.
That's the great way to end the segment right there.
Jonathan, you're the best. Thanks for joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. Keep holding down California. Come back and see us in the desert, my friend.
Always, always a pleasure, guys.
Love talking puck with Jonathan. Yeah, you know, because I look at that and I go, Utah, I got to lay $1.75 on a team that doesn't
never exist,
right?
This year.
But we saw what VGK did, right? So all of a sudden, sometimes there's some good juice. And we saw it with Seattle first year.
Something there in Salt Lake City, man. Maybe it's the salt in the water. Who knows?
Actually, they're a shorter price than Chicago to win that division. Sorry, wow. Blackhawks. Final touches here of Sharp Money next.